Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Mooney on Politics podcast. It's Friday, it's June the 11th, and it's just gone 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Apologies for being slightly late with the podcast this week. I know I said I'd try and do it on Tuesday and Wednesday, but unfortunately just work and other things got in the way. I was also looking at one point yesterday, maybe doing something including on the polling, but you might have heard I was on Claiborne earlier today and did my comments on that. And I might actually expand on that in more detail in the next broadsheet piece next Monday. Because my own view on this is I don't think there's anything sinister about it, but I think there is a problem when you're trying to do your polling in-house, because there is a paradox. And the paradox is polling, for it not to be skewed, has to be seen to be independent. But how does a political party be seen to independently poll on its own situation? I think that becomes a problem. And I think maybe political parties across the board have now realized that it's virtually impossible to do nowadays. However, we'll look at that in more detail maybe next Monday and maybe in next week's podcast. For the moment, let's return to the Dublin Bay South by-election. I had thought by this stage that we'd actually have a date for polling. I think there's a lot of speculation around the July the 8th, but it doesn't appear to have been announced yet, and we'll see if the writ is moved next week. I think if it hasn't been moved next week, then I think people will start getting a little bit antsy about when it's going to happen. So at this stage, we do know the main runners and riders. We do know who the main parties have selected. I'm sure there are still some independents to come into the race. But if we're just to kind of to look at the main ones, let's see how I think that's going to pan out. Now, in by-election, there are two rules of thumb. And this by-election could be unique because it's going to maybe not disprove one of them, but certainly both rules of thumb cannot be right in this case. So rule of thumb number one is that in any by-election, that 80% of the time, the winner turns out to be the candidate who was in first place on the first count. So in this case, it's probably not unexpected that would be Fine Gael's James Geoghegan. But there's another rule of thumb, and this is based simply on by-elections going back the last 20, 30 years. And that is in 82-83% of the by-elections held over the last 20 or something years, the opposition has won it. So you've got an 80% rule saying it's going to be the candidate who comes first on the first count, and the other 80% rule saying no, it's going to be one of the opposition parties who win it. So one of those, maybe not as wrong, but we're going to see the 20% kicking in on this one. So which 20% kicks in on which rule? And that becomes an intriguing part of this by-election. So therefore, the order of candidates on the first count will be important. Indeed, it'll be very, very important. And if I were to take my best guess now, partly basing it on what the result was at the last general election, looking at the poll movement since then, etc., I don't think it's too big a guess and too wild a claim to say that it's more than likely James Geoghegan who's going to be in first place on the first count. But the question is, where will he be? Will he have broken 30%? Or will he be in the high 20s? Last time around in this constituency, Fine Gael polled around 28%. Polling nationally, and if the national polls are right for the last while, you would suspect, given that Dublin Bay South is one of those constituencies that outperforms the national trend, that Fine Gael should be well into 32-33% here. But will they? This by-election has been held in kind of slightly unusual circumstances. You've had the sitting TD, the sole Fine Gael TD, deciding to quit politics without much preparation and without many people seem to be prepared for it. And that could have its own little ramifications for Fine Gael. I think there could be a bit of disquiet and a bit of dissatisfaction that this is a by-election that's been unnecessarily caused by Fine Gael. And that could actually reflect on its own support. Then secondly, you have this is again not a fault of James Geoghegan's, but you have the manner in which he was selected and the fact that the former sitting TD, Kate O'Connell, seemed to be passed over. Now, I know that she didn't contest it at the end of the day, so that's probably an unfair representation of what happened. But I think she would have been possibly a stronger candidate than James. And the third one is, which is he does seem to have certain weaknesses. Now, the attacks on him about his history with Renew, etc., I think are having a wee bit of an effect. I think the most damaging thing is whoever in Fine Gael decided to try and portray him as the Trudeau of Terenure. James Geoghegan is a very effective, very good local councillor. But he is not a national figure yet, and to try and portray him as such, and portraying somebody who has no big track record as this, and this overplaying of it, I think is actually damaging him, and is hurting him, and I think it was unwise. However, at the end of the day, the biggest determining factor on Fine Gael's support in this constituency will be Leo Varadkar and the Fine Gael brand. I suspect that the polling numbers are softer than they look, and my own guess is that Fine Gael will come in around 26, 27, 28%. Good performance, solid performance, certainly not down in the last election, but not up on it either. So that makes it important about what is the gap between themselves and Sinn Féin on that first count. The fact that Sinn Féin have selected or chosen or picked or nominated Lynn Boylan would suggest that Sinn Féin see this as a winnable seat for them, and I think they're right. Lynn Boylan, last time round, Sinn Féin got 16% in this constituency. Based on the lower turnout, we say the turnout this time is 35 to 40%. If only the people who voted Sinn Féin at the last election turn out again, 100%, by the way, and vote for Sinn Féin, Sinn Féin is probably going to get 22%. Can they add votes to that? Can the top of that? I think they can. And so I think seeing Sinn Féin on the first count at 22-23% within 4 to 5 points of Fine Gael could be very, very significant. And by the way, I think a lot of this election is going to come down to what parties can get their vote out on the day, what they call the GOTV, get out your vote, and get out their vote, I should say, rather. And I think that's I think at the moment it looks like Sinn Féin could be the party best placed to do that. I think it is the party, for whatever reasons, be it polling, be it ABU, be it databases, whatever. I think there are very few parties across the country who have a better idea of where their voters are living and where they are than Sinn Féin. And once upon a time, that was Fianna Fáil. Fianna Fáil at the moment, I think, is maybe third or fourth place when it comes to that. I think Fine Gael have a fairly decent get-out-the-vote operation as well. So there are your first two place candidates, James Gagan from Fine Gael, Lynn Boylan from Sinn Féin. I think there'll then be a gap. And then you'll have possibly four or five candidates bunched up together. Now, what the spread across those candidates are, I don't know. They could be coming in at 9, 10, 11, 12, up to 16%, 13%. I wouldn't dare guess at this moment. But if I were to suggest who's going to be in the next four, I would think it's going to be perhaps Ivana Bacsik in third place. She's a very strong candidate, long track record in the constituency, long association, effectively a national figure, has had a good track record in the Senate, will be well regarded. But Ivana's problem is the Labour brand. Can she drag the Labour Party vote up to meet her expectations, or does the brand drag her back down? If she isn't going to be in third place, and I think there's a chance she won't, then I think maybe the one to watch is Sarah Durkan from the Social Democrats. Almost the antithesis of Ivana, Sarah is again an excellent candidate, but would not be seen as being a national figure, as more a local figure. But Sarah Durkan benefits from the benefit of having Social Democrats as a very, very good brand at the moment, particularly in Dublin. So it's quite possible you see Sarah and the Social Democrats in third place, followed then by Ivana Bacsik. And then those two in turn followed by perhaps Claire Byrne from the Green Party and Deirdre Conroy from Fianna Fáil. Where they'll be, I wouldn't dare guess at this stage. Claire is not to be underestimated, but the Greens were romped home in this constituency the last time, certainly in the local elections and in the general election. But I think people are expecting to see a collapse of the Green vote. How far it collapses is the one to watch. For Deirdre Conroy from Fianna Fáil, this is her second run out in the national stage. She was a candidate for the party in Dublin Rathdown, where headquarters added her to the tickets in 2019 out there. So this is her second time around. So it's kind of unusual that she's come in for such negative coverage in the early stages. We assume that headquarters had vested her before the last general election. However, how much damage it's done, it's hard to know. But the fact that somebody has decided that they want to go after her would suggest that possibly she's faring better. And that she had been doing better, stronger than the bookies had suggested. After that, I think you're going to have an assortment of various independent candidates, Manix Flynn, People Before Profit, and various other individual candidates. No, I hope there's. I know there's a candidate from the renters' organisation for the people who are pay rent. So it'll be interesting to see what they shake out. Those candidates that I just mentioned are probably going to go more to Sinn Féin than to Fine Gael. And the question is, where does Fine Gael get its transfers as these counts progress? And what I mean by that is, on the second last count, I don't think it's reasonable to assume that Fine Gael will still be ahead on that count. Closely followed by Sinn Féin. 2 points behind, 3 points behind, 4 points behind, who knows? That could be anywhere between 300 to 400 votes behind Fine Gael, or 1,200 to 1,500 votes behind Fine Gael. So who is the last person standing after that? If it's the Sock Dems, if it's Sarah from the Sock Dems, then I think there's a strong possibility that she may have enough votes to transfer to Sinn Féin above what they transferred to Fine Gael to put Sinn Féin ahead. Assuming that Sinn Féin isn't already ahead at this stage, and I'm assuming that for the purposes of this, for this model. At which point Sinn Féin have a good chance of winning. Right now, my own gut is this constituency is 50-50. It's going to be Fine Gael or it's going to be Sinn Féin. If I were forced to put a bet on it right now, I would probably bet on Sinn Féin. Now, all the instincts tell me that that's wrong. Do I really think this constituency, which was seen as the heartland of Fine Gael, which had 2 Fine Gael seats out of 3 just over 2 years ago, then went to one seat, sorry, had 2 seats out of 4, then went to one seat, is it going to go to no seats for Fine Gael? It's possible. Is this constituency going to go from none to 1 to 2 seats for Sinn Féin? Yeah, I think that's possible too, because I think this will be a major by-election. I think there is a by-election upset coming. I think we're in far more fraught times, far more difficult times. I think politics is in a very volatile situation. I think most parties have a core vote, but then a very soft additional vote. At the moment, I would have thought Sinn Féin's top of vote above a core vote is probably firmer and tighter than it is for any other party. Fianna Fáil, in the meantime, is struggling to get to its core vote. So if I were to, so wait, 4 weeks ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, who knows, I would be saying, calling it at the moment for Sinn Féin. But let's see how this campaign plays out, because I think the next 2 weeks are going to be critical. We're going to have to see what issues play. This is an unusual election because it won't be fought door to door. A lot of it will be fought not so much over the airways, but over the social media and over platforms and over Facebook and over etc. other models like that. And I think the big test is which party is most in connection with and in regular connection with its voter base, and which one knows how to get out the vote on the day. So let's see. I'll return to this in about 2 weeks' time. So in the meantime, enjoy the weekend. Hopefully the weather will improve, and we'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.